Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And it's a great blessing to have David Seeloff with us. David is the Director for Scriptural Knowledge. You can visit the website askelm.com. There are books online there that you can read. And also, you can email David Seeloff at this address, david@askelm.com. You can also go to The Bite Show, go to the audio library, click on David Seeloff's name, and his special page will open up. And right now, David is going to talk to us about something that I'm sure most of you will be interested in, and the title is An Unfortunate Quote. Hi, David. David?
Oh, hi, Georgianne. I had the mute button on. If I start coughing or something, and I forgot that I had it on.
Oh.
So it's good that you remind me every once in a while. Yeah, the title of this is An Unfortunate Quote. And then a subtitle would be, A Senior Rabbi Speaks His Mind. And so I'm going to read the text of a commentary that I wrote on December 16th in 2010. And here's the text. Recently in Jerusalem, an elderly but important Sephardic rabbi spoke publicly about Jewish racial superiority and the inferiority of non-Jews.
Oh my goodness.
And his statement shocked the Jewish community in Israel and has given quite a bit of ammunition to opponents of Israel and even to radical Islamists. Here is the Jerusalem Post article titled Yosef, Gentiles Exist Only to Serve Jews.
Oh,
written by Jonah Mandel, October 18th, 2010. And the emphasis is mine. Quote, quoting Mandel's article, the sole purpose of non-Jews is to serve Jews, according to Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, head of the Shas Council of Torah Sages and a senior Sephardic adjudicator. Quote, says Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, quote, Goyim, meaning Gentiles, were born only to serve us. Without that, they have no place in the world, only to serve the people of Israel.
Oh.
End quote. He said this in his weekly Saturday night sermon on the laws regarding the actions of non-Jews are permitted to perform, what non-Jews are permitted to perform on Shabbat. In other words, as employees of Jews, according to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10 and Deuteronomy 5 and verse 14. That's my insert, as employees of Jews. So in other words, non-Jews on the Sabbath are permitted to perform certain functions for Jews on the Sabbath, according to the Talmudic laws. According to Yosef, Mandel continues, the lives of non-Jews in Israel are safeguarded by divinity, in other words, by God, to prevent losses to Jews. As Yosef says, in Israel, death has no dominion over them. Yosef says, with Gentiles it will be like any person. They need to die, but God will give them longevity. Why? Imagine that one's donkey would die. They would lose money. This is his servant. That's why he gets a long life, to work well for this Jew, end quote, Yosef said. He also said, why are Gentiles needed? They will work, they will plow, they will reap. We will sit like an effendi and eat. That is why Gentiles were created, end quote, he said. Yosef's Saturday night sermons have seen many controversial statements from the 90-year-old rabbi. In August, Yosef caused a diplomatic uproar when he wished a plague upon the Palestinian people and their leaders, a curse he retracted a few weeks later when he blessed them along with all of Israel's other peace-seeking neighbors. And so ends Jonah Mandel's article in Jerusalem Post. Well, to say the least, such statements by Rabbi Yosef are not helpful. In fact, even the pro-Israel and pro-Jewish Anti-Defamation League in Israel condemned the rabbi's October statements. In an article titled, ADL Slams Shas Spiritual Leader for Saying Non-Jews Were Born to Serve Jews, that's a website title, says, quote, on Tuesday, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, said that Yosef's comments contributed to an atmosphere of hatred and a global trend of intolerance. It went going on, it said, it is disturbing to see any religious leader, and particularly Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, use their podium to preach such hateful and divisive ideas. ADL Chief Abraham H. Foxman said, in a world where bigotry and prejudice are prevalent, it is especially important for religious leaders to use their influence to teach respect and acceptance, he continued. End quote. Now, in August 2010, Rabbi Yosef, as we read earlier, publicly cursed the Palestinian people and leaders, as if he had the authority to do so. And at that time, Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu strongly condemned that statement. And the United States itself, the government, even later gave an even stronger rebuke. On August 30th, 2010, the publication Haaretz, meaning the land, had an article titled, U.S. Issues Sterner Condemnation of Ovadia Yosef's Comments, Stronger Than Netanyahu. Uh-huh. Now, I don't quote that article, but I do have it linked in my commentary. Yosef's October 2010 comments that we quoted earlier were broadcast live in Israel. So there's no doubt that he said what he said. Yeah. And it was reported in several media outlets, including a JTA article, JTA.org article, titled Sephardi Leader Yosef, Non-Jews Exist to Serve Jews. Besides the text of the Jerusalem Post that we read above, this JTA.org article says, quote, the American Jewish community condemned the rabbi's remarks in a statement issued Monday. Rabbi Yosef's remarks, suggesting outrageously that Jewish scripture asserts non-Jews exist to serve Jews, are abhorrent and an offense to human dignity and human equality, said AJC Executive Director David Harris. Judaism first taught the world that all individuals are created in the divine image, which helped form the basis of our moral code. A rabbi should be the first and not the last to reflect that bedrock teaching of our tradition. End quote. Now, of course, Rabbi Yosef's statement was picked up and quoted in Al Jazeera, the worldwide Arab and Muslim broadcast and internet news service, in an article titled, Israeli Rabbi Yosef, Shapira says, non-Jews exist only to serve Jews, to be used as human shields. Well, Al Jazeera coupled Rabbi Yosef's statements with another rabbi's statement that was morally that it is morally acceptable to use non-Jews as human shields when attacked. So, why is Rabbi Yosef saying such things? And even if he believes them, why is he so silly as to state them?
Yeah.
In other words, what is the source of Rabbi Yosef's ideas? Well, I'm not sure, but I think Rabbi Yosef was referring to a biblical passage that talks about Israelites being viewed, not that they are, but by being viewed by as superior to other peoples. However, the passage actually says something quite different than what Rabbi Yosef may be thinking, and it does not justify his prejudicial statements. In the section of Scripture where Jacob deceives his father, Isaac, and poses as his brother Esau, so that he, Jacob, could obtain the birthright firstborn blessing, Esau was understood to be the firstborn. Reading Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 to 29, you get the feeling that the nearly blind Isaac was cautious before he gave his blessing. He may have suspected a deception and did not fully trust the son who was in front of him, that it was actually Esau. It was, in fact, Jacob. And finally, Isaac gave the blessing to him. One part of Isaac's blessing says, in Genesis 27, verse 1, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord, or Geber is the Hebrew term, meaning a mighty one, over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. As I said, that's Genesis 27, verse 29. Now, when it says, let people serve you, the term, the word people, is amim, A-M-I-M, which is plural. In people, it means people focusing on their ethnicity. And when it says nations, which is lamim, also plural in this case, it means people focused on organization or government, or in other words, nations. So it says, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. What is not used is the usual word goyim, which is the most common term for nations, which, and non-Israelites, is used over 500 times. And the vast majority, meaning non-Israelites. And remember, Genesis was written to the Israelites in the Exodus originally.
Well,
now, most,
back then there were no Jews.
Right, until Judah. Right, even at the time of the Exodus, there were no Jews. There were just Israelites, and
yeah.
Judah was just one of the tribes.
Yes.
And most all translations and commentaries accept that non-Israelites are being referred to when it says in Genesis 27, verse 29, let people serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac goes on to talk about your brethren and your mother's sons. And these are seen as referring to the descendants of Ishmael and Esau. Professor George Wesley Buchanan, one of the excellent presenters on your show, quotes from a book quotes from the Genesis Rabbah, 66, number 4, 131 B, B and C. And this is in Professor Buchanan's book, Revelation and Redemption, pages 329 to 330. Now, it says in this Genesis Rabbah 66, verse 4, people will serve you, according to, and citing Genesis 27, 29. The 70 nations and nations will prostrate themselves before you. These are the Ishmaelites, the sons of Keturah, another wife of Abraham, of whom it is written, the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Leumim. Be lords over your brothers. This is speaking of Esau and his chiefs. So the Jewish sages of the 6th century A.D., which is approximately when the Genesis Rabbah was written down, 600 years after Christ, they believe that the first phrase meant the nations of the world in general, while the nations would prostrate or bow down before Israel. Those were the other sons of Abraham and Esau. The Targums are translations from Hebrew to Aramaic, a cognate language of Hebrew. They're also paraphrases of sections of the Old Testament. The Targums expand upon Genesis 27, verse 29, in the same manner. It says in the Targum Jerusalem on the Pentateuch, about Genesis 27, 29, it says, let peoples serve before you, all the sons of Esau, all the kings be subject to you, all the sons of Ishmael, be you a chief and a ruler over the sons of Keturah. In the Targum Pseudo-Jonathan on the Pentateuch, again quoting Genesis 27:29, expanding on the biblical text, the Targum says, let peoples be subject to you, all the sons of Esau, and kingdoms bend before you, in other words, kneel down, all the sons of Keturah, a chief and a ruler be you over your brethren, and let the sons of your mother salute you. Then in Targum Onkelos on the Pentateuch, again quoting Genesis 27, or expanding on Genesis 27:29, says, let the peoples serve you, and kingdoms be subservient to you. Be you chief of your brethren, and let the sons of your mother worship you. Now I cited the Genesis Rabbah and the Targums to show that this was common among the Jewish people in the 6th century, a period of time in which the Jews were under severe persecution. So they were reaching out in hope and taking this verse, this passage of Genesis 27:29, and they were against everybody. Now, Genesis 27:29 is not quoted or cited in the Mishnah or the Talmuds, and so far as I have found. But there are statements similar to Rabbi Yosef's statements in the Talmuds. For example, the Mishnah is a written compilation of oral tradition. It is teaching apart from the tradition which is the Old Testament. The Talmud is a commentary on the Mishnah, and it is considered by many Jewish authors, scholars, to have greater authority than the Bible. The Mishnah was compiled by 200 AD, while the Talmud, the commentary on the Mishnah, was compiled over several more centuries, ending around 500 AD. The two major Talmuds are the Jerusalem Talmud and the much larger and longer Babylonian Talmud. And Dr. Martin has written on this in an article called The Intertestamental Period, where Jewish sources admit that the authority of the Talmud is considered superior to the authority of the scriptures themselves. Well, several Talmudic sources declare openly that the Gentiles have a status below that of Israelites and Jews in God's sight. So much so to the extent that only those who are not of Israel are somewhat less than fully human.
Oh, gee.
In other words, you have to be of Israel, or in other words, a Jew, to be fully human. Now, I will not quote these Talmudic statements. They are rather inflammatory, but they are clearly taught in the Talmud, and I've checked them in several different English translations from the from the Hebrew and the Aramaic. But Rabbi Yosef's statements follow the line of thinking in the Talmud. But in this current day and age, such prejudicial statements have no place in religious discourse. And most important, they are against Scripture. So if you consider something to be superior to Scripture, it's no surprise that you will talk about those and not the Scripture. All human beings derive from Adam. We are in Adam, just as we believers are in Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. And as 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, in ancient times, the Greeks labeled all peoples as barbarians, which simply meant that they were non-Greeks and they were inferior. And yes, they were not quite up to the Greek ideal of what a human being should be. The Romans, the Germans, the Gauls, the Persians, the pre-Islamic Arabs all felt the same way, that their people were superior to everyone else. It was, in ancient times, truly an us-against-them situation in the world. Now, the Bible nowhere calls Gentiles, whether nations or individuals, anywhere as less than human, fully human, just as is Israel. There are statements, however, comparing people and nations to animals, but those are biblical statements that criticize their behavior and actions, not their intrinsic character or worth before God as human beings created in His image. See, the part of the purpose, I think, is to delegitimize certain people as having less worth before God, and that's sort of implying that they're not in His image. These are cultural statements made in Scripture under stress and danger of extermination in a period of history when everyone wrote and made such statements against those that they reviled and considered their enemies. In the United States, there has been much recent talk about what's been called American exceptionalism. And such a concept is fine so long as it is kept in mind that there is no moral superiority of one people over another, or one person over another, intrinsically. There is certainly moral superiority between a good person and a bad person. Before God, we're all sinners. And only God can make such judgments about people, and He does so. Each ethnic and racial group has special characteristics and natural abilities that differ and perhaps are superior to other ethnic and racial groups. This is how God made His children, each with unique abilities and faults and superiorities and inferiorities. God, however, has the right to discriminate. He designated Canaan to be cursed by Noah in Genesis 9, verse 25. He chose Jacob over Esau and arranged events so that that would come about. And as Paul directly says, God loved Jacob and hated Esau, quoting Malachi 1, verse 23, verses 2 and 3. Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3, as Paul quoted that verse in Romans 9, verse 13. One notable characteristic of Israel is that they are a rebellious and stiff-necked people. God Himself says that in Deuteronomy 31, verse 27. God established Israel from Abraham to be a people set apart, a people special to God, having benefit of His special affection and attention. As it says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, for Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God's special people rebelled in spite of his special care. Now, scripture is different from the way people talk and discriminate. The scriptures do not discriminate between peoples on a spiritual level. All are from Adam, as it says in Acts 17, verses 24 to 27. And Paul, when he said that in Acts 17, was on Mars Hill talking to Gentiles. As I have written before elsewhere, Israel is special only because they have been chosen by lot by God. Israel was not chosen because they are special. They're special only because they've been chosen. All come from Adam. All peoples and nations have particular characteristics, some good, some bad. National or racial characteristics do not indicate moral superiority of one people over another. Israel was chosen by God to perform two major tasks in history. The first was to preserve the Word of God, as it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the second was to teach the Gentiles about God, Zechariah 8, verses 13 to 23. Israel is not performing that second task yet. In the future, we shall see if they are performing the first task. Teaching that Gentiles are inferior before God and are to be likened to beasts of burden, as Rabbi Joseph states, makes it difficult for Gentiles to listen and to respond to anything Israel and the Jews may have to say about God. How can you dialogue with someone who thinks you are beneath them and are like an animal? Isaac's blessing in Genesis 27:29 was a prophecy. And just like God's blessing of Abraham and Abraham's blessing of Isaac were prophecies, the world will serve Israel when Israel fulfills God's mission for them. When Israel becomes a kingdom of priests. And it's not because Israel is special, but so that Israel will bless and teach the nations about God. Then it will be seen that they are indeed the chosen people of God, blessed to have that responsibility. And it is a responsibility that they will fulfill, but they're not doing it now, and they will fulfill it in the future. Thank you, Georgianne. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're very appreciated, David. This was very, very interesting. The thing about the Jews, there are different classes of Jews, just like there are different classes of other people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, the Jews exhibit everything that everyone else exhibits.
Oh, yeah.
But it's intensified.
Yes.
That's another characteristic that God has given them. Everything they do is magnified and intensified, but they're actually... People don't like it when I say this, but they're not that different from you and from me and from everyone else. It's just that because God has chosen them, because the eye of the world is on them and will be even more in the future, everything that they do, everything that they act and as a group is intensified. But to a sense, they kind of represent us to history. They're a microcosm of... The rest of the world is pretty much left alone by God. But what would happen if God paid special attention to a particular group of people? Well, that's what's occurring with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God did do that in history. They rejected him, and so he rejected them for a time. And yet the Messiah came through Israel.
Yeah.
The Messiah came through Judah. And as Paul says, all Israel will be saved, and indeed all mankind will be saved. So.
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, yes, it is very interesting. And that foolish rabbi, oh my goodness.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is utterly amazing. Everybody, go to askelm.com. There are books online that you can read for free. There are many, many articles, good articles written by David Seeloff that you can read. My goodness, the Ask Elm website offers so much. Just go and have a look. And also, you can go to the Byte Show, go to the audio library, click on David Seeloff's name, and his special page will open up with links to all of the audio files David and I have worked on over the years. You know, David, somebody sent a ridiculous email calling you a Christian Zionist. And I got a good laugh out of that. That was hilarious. Oh my, can't people think up anything? Oh,
well, I'm a friend of Israel and hope to be a better friend in the future. We'll see how things go.
Yeah.
I might be the best friend they ever had. You never know how things go. But, you know, I think I know what he means by Christian Zionist. But do I think Israel right or wrong? No. No more than I think, you know, America right or wrong.
Right. Right.
It's still my country. Israel's not my country. America is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I consider myself a realist about Israel today and the Jewish people and the people of Israel, the Israelis and the Jews. So a Christian Zionist, if I'm understanding him correctly, I would deny that charge.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, there's a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done with the Israeli people themselves morally. It's a cesspool. It really is. And it's not going to get better until something happens that causes it causes the people to cleave to God. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, David, very much. This is Georgianne Hughes with David Seeloff signing off. And God bless every one of you out there that's listening. Good night.